Good morning, everyone. This is Barbara Torres. I will be facilitating this morning's special and emergency meeting of the Magnolia Public Schools Board of Directors. Dr. Yapena, can you call both meetings to order?
I'd like to call Magnolia Public Schools special and emergency board meetings to order at 7:04, April 2nd.
Thank you, Dr. Yapena. Next, we have a recording of attendance. I will take a roll for our board members. Rabbi Beliak? Dr. Yapena?
Present.
Gonzalez?
Hello?
Covarrubias?
Here.
Rizov?
Here.
Ekbash? Okay, thank you. We have a quorum, so we will go ahead and continue. Next, we have approval of the agenda. So this motion is to approve both the special and the emergency agendas for this morning. Do we have a board member who would like to move that motion?
I'll move the motion.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. I believe Ms. Covarrubias, is that your second?
Yes.
Thank you. Again, this is to approve both emergency and special. As I'll take votes. Dr. Yapena?
Yes.
Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Orzov?
Yes.
Thank you. Both agendas have been approved. We did not get any public comments, but is there anyone on the line who'd like to give a public comment on either the special or the emergency agendas? No? Okay, thank you. Next, we have our first action item, 2A. This is on the special meeting. This is approval of resolution for the interorganization of transfer from MSA 5 to MSA 1. And Ms. Montijo will present, our CFO.
Hi, good morning, everybody. This is Nanny Montijo, Chief Financial Officer of Magnolia Public Schools. The staff is requesting that the board approve the attached resolutions as part of the terms and conditions issued by the Los Angeles County Office of Education in their letter of approval last March 30th, 2020, and also to determine the start date of the loan. As background, we have been waiting for this letter of approval that we first submitted on September 12, 2019. And on Monday, March 30th, we received a letter approving the intra-organizational loan from MSA 5 to MSA 1. Some of the conditions are that it does not exceed $1 million and that we need to open a new bank account to deposit the $1 million to monitor the use and activities of this loan. And also the attached board resolution. That's it for me. Alfred, do you want to add anything?
Yes, good morning, board members, staff, and Magnolia community. Hopefully everyone is safe and healthy during these unprecedented times. So as Nanny mentioned, yes, this was a long process, but we did work hand in hand with LACO, and as all of you were notified in the letter, you know, they did approve our loan with these conditions. The only thing I would add for clarity, Nanny, if obviously the board was to approve today, our board was to approve today, the transfer would happen today, which means the start date of the loan would be today, April 2nd. Is that correct?
No, we still have to open a new account before I can transfer the funds from MSA 5. I was in contact with Citibank since Monday, and as soon as it's approved, I will give them the go-ahead to open the new account, and it will take anywhere from 24 to 48 hours to open the new account.
So then I think in order for the board to determine the start date of the loan, because that's one of the conditions that have to be met, I'm thinking of how we should state that in terms of, because you don't have an exact date of when that transfer is. So if we say by Monday, April 6th or Tuesday, April 7th, would that be enough time?
Yes.
Okay. So the 6th or the 7th? Nanny, what do you think in terms of the start date?
The 7th, I believe, to be more on the safe side. Because tomorrow is a holiday.
Yes. Patrick, I think that was you.
Yes, that was me. Hi, this is Patrick Contreras. What I was going to suggest is that the board of directors, designate a member who can notify Lakeview in writing of the start date, because that is what's required by the terms and conditions set out in their approval letter. So that might be the easiest way of doing it.
So that's in effect to give us the flexibility in case we are able to get that account open, correct? And then be able to do the transfer. Okay.
Yes, that okay. is correct. Yes.
All right. Yeah, I think that was one of the conditions. So I just wanted to clear that up. So I don't have anything else to add to Nanny's presentation. Patrick, do you want to add anything on obviously the other side of the
yes
transactions?
Yes. Hi. So this is Patrick Contreras again. The only thing I will add is this loan will allow us to pay out all the final invoices for Oltmans. They've been very patient, waiting at least 6 months is how long this process took, unbelievably. But they've been very helpful as far as keeping contractors, subcontractors that might otherwise be filing liens, keeping them at bay. So this loan again will help us pay all the final invoices. Final invoices are about 1.1 to 1.2. We have sufficient money left in the total accounts to pay that with this $1 billion loan. Yeah, so that's all I have to add.
All right, thank you, staff, and I'll turn it over to the board.
I just want to remind that the termination of the start date of the transfer has to be notified in writing. LACO has to be notified in writing.
Yes, that is correct. Thank you for the added detail. So with that, questions for board members for this resolution? All right, no questions. So obviously want to get this right, Barbara. So Patrick and Nanny will assist as well. So we make sure that we get this motion read off correctly.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me read off what we have, because it already states that about the terms and conditions. So let me read it off and see if you guys want to make any changes. So the motion that we have currently in place is to approve the attached resolution covering the terms and conditions issued by LACO in their letter of approval dated March 30th, 2020, as stated in the attached board resolution, and determine the start date of the loan. So that's what we have now.
Patrick, what Barbara, would you add to that? So, Nanny, go ahead.
The date of the agenda item is January. It should be April 2nd.
The letter?
The cover sheet.
I changed it. Did I change it?
Oh, well, you did?
I changed it from what you sent.
Yes, it's April 2nd. So Patrick, anything you would add in specific to what you mentioned in terms of having the board direct a member to give that information to LACO in writing for this board recommend, this board motion that Barbara just read?
Yeah, I would say that the board should just direct one of its members to sign a letter on behalf of the board addressed to LACO to notify them that the loan has been extended and the start date of the loan. That's
okay,
what I would recommend.
Write that up. Just give me 30 seconds.
So as Barbara writes that, then as the acting chair for this meeting, Dr. Yapanel, you could determine whether that be you or anyone else on the board that you would like to designate this tax to.
Okay, it's staff. You're asking a board member?
Yes, it's supposed to specifically come from a board member. I mean, from the board. So I think the just to, you know, make sure we're in strict compliance with the letter, I would recommend that we have a board member sign on behalf of the board.
Board would direct one specific board member, not direct staff to notify LACO.
That's correct. I mean, as a practical matter, staff will obviously notify that member that's designated and also write the letter on their behalf. They just need to sign it so that we can send it to LACO. And we'll obviously also include the CEO's signature as well.
Okay, so I added to the resolution and to determine the start date of the loan and to direct the MPS board vice chair, since it'll be Dr. Yapanel, if that's what you decide, the MPS vice chair to notify LACO of the start and end of the loan. Okay, let me read it all over. The motion is to approve the attached resolution covering the terms and conditions issued by LACO in the letter of approval dated March 30th, 2020, and to determine the start date of the loan and to direct the MPS board chair to notify LACO of the start and end of the loan. All right.
Board chair or board vice chair? Who are we?
I'm sorry?
Board chair or board vice chair?
Vice chair.
Okay.
Oh, it's up to you, but I added vice chair, but it's up to you.
Can someone move, please, since I'm getting authorization to do something?
I'll make a motion to approve.
I heard someone else other than Ms. Gonzalez, but I didn't catch it. Who was it?
It's me, Sheda.
Okay, Mr. Rosado, I'll take your motion and I'll take Ms. Gonzalez as second. Okay, I'll go ahead and take votes. Give me 1 second. Dr. Yapanel?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Covarrubias?
Yes.
Rosado?
Yes.
Thank you. So the motion carries. This was 2A on our special meeting agenda. Next, we have our item 2A from the emergency meeting agenda, and that is the new resolution regarding the COVID-19, and our CEO and superintendent will present this item. This is also related to the special item 3A, which was just an informational item on the same matter.
Thank you, Barbara. Yes, good morning, board members again. So we did have it initially as an informational item, and then information was shared with us by State Superintendent of Public Instruction that announcement was going to be made, which it was made yesterday in a press conference with Governor Newsom, that the recommendation was for all schools across the state of California to close their schools till the end of the year. So obviously when that information was shared, we went ahead and created an action item, which precipitated the emergency meeting. So from the last time we met, which was last Friday, March 27th, as has been the case, quite a bit of things have changed and there's quite a bit of movement. So I won't go into too much of a comprehensive report, just to allow, if you have any questions for the school sites, and we do have some school site leaders on the line, so you could ask any questions since they're on the front lines, obviously doing the great work with our families during this time. But what's most important is for this resolution, you obviously heard yesterday as well that you know, the virus is obviously spreading, and there was sharing of specific models that had a peak in regards to the state of California happening in mid-May, a peak of cases, a peak of deaths, and a peak of many different impacts on the state. Which means that most likely the safer at home order will be extended beyond the initial April 19th. And given that schools will be closed, obviously it might be extended till the end of June. So that's yet to be seen. But from an impact to the schools, our last day of school is June 12th. So we obviously are going to close our schools, but at the same time accelerate and strengthen our distance learning program. So I'll turn it over to Erdinch to talk a little bit about that. As all of you are aware, at the last meeting on Friday, I did talk about our launch of our distance learning program, which started on Monday. And with that, you know, although we did what we call a soft launch of our distance learning program, through the feedback mechanisms from the school sites, from the feedback from the different state educational agencies, and also, you know, different local and state level public health departments, that is guiding our decisions and some of the things we learn at the home office, through brainstorming and best practices with the school sites and also other CMO leaders. We're pivoting, obviously, also how our distance learning program gets better. So with that, we will make some modifications, but that is just some basic info. I'll just turn it over to Erdinch to talk a little bit about what that looks like in more detail. And then obviously we have the school sites if you have any questions for any of the school site leaders on. So, Erdinch. Go ahead, Erdinch.
Yeah, I've been trying to unmute. Good morning, board members. This is Erdinch Ajar, Chief Academic Officer. So since our last meeting Friday, we've been working again with the school teams, we launched our distance learning program on Monday. And last Friday, as I mentioned, we had a virtual PD, our first ever virtual PD Magnolia-wide, to train our teachers on the upcoming details of the distance learning. And it was kind of a troubleshooting, making last minute adjustments before the launch of the distance learning. And we had more than 130 teachers getting trained on the different aspects of our distance learning plan, including Google Classroom, Google Hangout, Zoom meeting, managing virtual learning, how to help our special populations, students with disabilities, students with language learners and such. So it was a very productive day. Lots of collaboration and best practice sharing. At the same time, in close contact with the schools on their specific learning plans, trying to get them ready with all the details, because this is all news to everybody. With that, we started Monday, Tuesday, and we launched the distance learning portal on our website that enabled access to all student families with information to the lesson classrooms that the students and parents, they could see the week at a glance, all these daily activities, links to Google Classrooms, links to Zoom meetings, links to school teachers' office hours, and such. So that's been launched as well for all school sites, and now available in the school websites and to the public as well. We're making this openly accessible to all. Since Monday, we then started collecting feedback on teacher engagement, student engagement, and helping out the different aspects of managing the classroom. Everybody again is still trying to figure out all the details, including like grading and graduation, how to help better students with disabilities. In fact, yesterday, CDE just came up with grading and graduation recommendations, as well as the UC system, CSU system. They made their first recommendation and response to how to deal with this school facility closure and how that impacts our graduation classes. So following those recommendations and embedding them into our distance learning plans and our plan of action. As of today, there will be a CDE-led virtual training as well on how to help students with disabilities. Our teams will be joining, but we have had already plans and trained our folks. We have a virtual service provider in terms of helping our special students with special needs. We've been working close with school teams and moving forward. Except San Diego, all of our schools will be going to spring break as of today. Tomorrow is a holiday, and then we'll come together again after the spring break and again work on the upgraded version of our game plans and keep working until June 12th, when we actually close the schools. So with that, I'll turn it to Alfredo.
Yeah, thank you, Erdinç. And just to be clear, I'm asking the board today to give me the authority to close our schools until the end of the year, which would be June 12, 2020, while we obviously strengthen our distance learning program to service our students, families, and community, and also with that, continue to provide meals to our families as we've done since the closure, and also obviously continue to pay our employees through the executive order issued by Governor Newsom through the end of the year, and then also looking into possible partnerships to provide our facilities for childcare, which we're looking at right now. and seeing how that looks. So with that, questions for staff or any of the site leadership that's on the line?
Hi, this is Sandra. I have a couple of questions. So how does it work for the students that need to recover credits from failing classes from last semester? Do you want me to ask the questions first or just give?
Yes, let's tackle one at a time. I'll turn it over to Ardinch to answer that question based on whatever information we received from the California Department of Education. Ardinch?
I'm sorry, I missed the first part. I had a bad connection. Can I hear the question again, please?
The question was, what happens to the students that need to recover those credits from failing classes the semester before?
Yes. So regardless the facility closures, in terms of credit recovery, we have plans right now in action. So our college counselors and our deans of academics, we always work on the four-year plan and graduation plans constantly with the kids, and those plans have been updated with makeups and credit recovery options. We do have options at this point, and all of our seniors have been in close communication with credit recovery, and many of our credit recovery options have been also an online recovery option. So we're not being affected by the facility closures. We do have options for kids to continue with their current plans. And as of now, we don't see our seniors or juniors negatively impacted by that. So so our plans are still in place. Not only us, the community colleges, they have their make backup and emergency plans to help kids get in classes as well. So we're closely working with our seniors and juniors, and making sure whatever plans they had in place before this carries out till the end of the school year.
But does it work the same way for other grade levels? Like if we have obviously middle schoolers that this might affect them moving on to the next grade level, and how would that, are we going to be lenient on them, or how is that going to work?
Well, in terms of summer, everybody's early, and that was a question for state superintendent yesterday as well. So obviously, we have not acted on a decision for summer school. So we're still monitoring the situation. We're hoping that social distance requirements will be lifted by then, by middle of June. If that's the case, then we'll continue having our summer sessions. If not, then we'll come up with alternate plans as well.
Okay, and how does it look for those seniors across Magnolia White? As I know you said you have some resources, but as to what's going to happen for graduation, I mean, what kind of plans do we have for them?
Yes, good question. Again, as of yesterday, the UC system, the CSU system, they had a press release on their response to the COVID-19 related impacts on the students and families, and that was a very a comprehensive response. So first, for our seniors, our graduation class of 2020, in terms of their current graduations, across Magnolia White, we have a handful, two to three students. They had been on missing credits or they needed to make up to graduate. So those kids, they have been monitored and provided support with their current graduation plans, as I told. In terms of their acceptances, they are not being impacted because they've already submitted their applications and those are in. They'll get, and they have been receiving acceptances in the past couple of months. In terms of, accepting the acceptance, the May 1st deadline still remains for UCs and CSUs. And they have been offered extension on the financial aid due to the circumstances. They'll submit their transcripts by July 1st or 15th, depending on where they apply. So they don't need to take SATs anymore. So they are not being impacted, except the AP classes, and then those classes will be online. AP exams, and colleges will be accepting the scores, online exam scores. So seniors not much impacted. The juniors, coming juniors, class of 2020, good news for them is that they're immune from taking the SATs and ACTs. As part of the acceptance criteria to UCs and CSUs. So that's kind of a good news for our students, especially, SAT and ACTs being a non-equalized criteria for many of our kids. So these are some of the impacts on the seniors and juniors. Other than that, again, their graduations, their diplomas, will be in place. The one thing is for seniors is that their commencement ceremonies will be impacted. The social distances will be lifted by June 15, then by all means, we are planning to have in-person, graduation ceremonies. If that's not the case, then again, we'll come up with alternate ways to hold these ceremonies or postpone them for future date. So these are some of the impacts on graduation senior and coming class of graduation.
So to add to Erdinch, thank you, Erdinch. To add to Erdinch, I think, Sandra, what's also important is that this information is obviously becoming readily available, and some of this information was communicated to us over the last week. So Ismail is working with Erdinch, the academic, and the school sites, college counselors, to communicate this very clearly to parents, because I think that this information does need to be communicated in a very kind of specific to the senior, specific to the junior. So we'll be working on that and the other piece to what Erdinch was talking about was the, any cost that were incurred by the seniors or the parents in preparation for prom or some other events. Those are the things we're working with the school sites to be able to communicate to parents and obviously help as much as we can in that respect, which means reimbursing everyone. So those are the things that we're still, everything's happening so quickly, but that's super important to us to communicate this to our parents of those different classes.
Are you going to allow each school to do on their own what's recommended if the social distancing uplifted as to how they can either go on with certain plans that they have for the seniors, or are you just going to do Magnolia-wide as to they're going to get their refund?
Yeah, at this point, I think what's happening is we got the announcement yesterday about the school closure, which means in our to-do list is to gather all the sites and the counselors and talk about what virtual graduations might look like, or celebrations, or what other alternative we have as option A, option B. And then now with this announcement, now we are pushing forward to get all those different things related to those expenses. So yes, we plan to do that. But I can't tell you, we haven't started that process in writing. We haven't started that process in sharing. We've started it in the sense of, okay, these are things we need to do. So we're tackling things in terms of priority. But yeah, those now become priority now that the superintendent and the governor made the announcement. And then now that we as an organization are closing till the end of the year.
Okay, thank you. And then last question, for the, like, tomorrow being the holiday and then we have spring break, how is that going to affect our families for the food? Are they still going to be allowed to receive food, like meals, or they're on break as well?
Yes, great question. So we are open in terms of Magnolia-wide administrators in home office April 6th and 7th. We're still going to have quite a bit of meetings on those days with school sites. So those meals will continue on for the 6th and the 7th. The 8th, 9th, and 10th, the two meals that are distributing, those at the Magnolia site using our vendors, one of the school sites will be opening for those 3 days, and then the other site, we're not sure yet, we're determining that. And then all of the LAUSD sites did announce that they will continue to be open. So even if one of our school sites does not open, then obviously we will send a communication to go to the local school next to us. So in that respect, everyone will have somewhere to go to get a meal during the 8th, 9th, and 10th. And then Santa Ana is also in partnership with official No Child Left Behind, which is a partnership we've had for a couple of years. And all of you, Ismael was able to share some of the great work happening. They'll be distributing for the next two and a half months on Saturdays as well.
Thank you. And then can I get just a little bit, I know there's other board members, but can I get a little bit of special ed feedback on that department as to how we're dealing with our students that are in special need? How are they doing? How are we, you know, in contact with them? How is everything in that department?
Yeah. Erdinch, go ahead.
Yeah. Yes. Again, this is Erdinch, Chief Academic Officer. So since March 13th, our special education department have been working with these issues of providing support to our students with disabilities. The game plan, you know, how the remote help service providing will look like. So, being you know, a small organization, and knowing every teacher, and then having close relationship with service providers, so we have been meeting on this issue again since March 13, and we put a plan to help that includes our case managers closely being in touch with parents and students, following up, checking their current status, what they do at home, whether they feel supported, they have access to curriculum, and if those accommodations, modifications are in place, I mean, the biggest piece was the related services, you know, whether speech adapted PE and you know, other you know, services that were part of the IEPs, and that you know, that's been in, that's still in discussion with you know, so many schools and school districts. You know, everybody's trying to do their best to help with the current situation. but as I mentioned, that we had. And you know, the board approved a vendor for us to provide some of those services in a virtual setting. And since then, we reestablished our contact, met with the service provider, talked about the details, the logistics, the equipment needs, you know, how to help our you know, case managers and you know, get that program rolling out. So that's been done, and we'll have that starting, you know, as soon as possible. So our aim to continue providing those related services to the extent possible uninterruptedly in a virtual setting, and you know, making close contact with the students and families from the special education department, also from the Gen Ed department, that again, we retrained our teachers on how to help specifically our special populations, including students with disabilities, in a virtual environment. So they feel equipped right now to help those kids. We're still working on the details of that. You know, whatever services that we cannot provide during this time, and we'll may end up providing compensatory education to make up those service minutes and services at the end of this circumstance. You know, whenever the social distancing requirements are lifted, then we may end up making up of those minutes and services again. So that's the game plan right now we're working on, trying to provide as much as possible in a virtual environment with all the supports we can provide.
Thank you.
I have a question to ask you, because I've been in contact, this is Diane Gonzalez, with other teachers with the virtual teaching. Are we getting 100% of our students actually doing the classwork or not? And how are we keeping track of it? Because I know some of my teachers tell me it's only 10%. Some of them tell me it's 20%. Others tell me it's only the ones who are really into school that are actually doing the classes. So how are we keeping track of all of this?
It's a great question, Mrs. Gonzalez. So, the issue equity and access is still being resolved in some of our schools. I mean, and that requires, and the distance learning being virtual and non-virtual, you know, as of now, I can say, you know, about 90-95% of our students, they do have access to Chromebooks and internet, and we are providing those families and students that virtual learning experience, and that's been monitored and tracked with specific tools. You know, one is being Google Classroom, that our teachers are instructed and you know, provided tools to capture student engagement. That's, you know, daily trackers, you know, weekly trackers we have in place. So we are monitoring their progress. For those who don't have virtual access, we provided packets, physical materials that we again are tracking by emailing parents, calling parents, and that's been done as well. So we do have we do keep records in that aspects, and then measure engagement.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Other questions from board members?
Just wanted to say that this is Chaim Beliak. I just joined. Apologies for being late. I worked all night, so I apologize for being late.
No worries, Rabbi. Good morning, and hopefully you are well. Thank you for joining us. Other questions from board members regarding this specific resolution? All right, I'll turn it over to Barbara.
Thank you. So the motion here would be to approve resolution 2020-04-02-02, which is in regards to concerning measures to address organizational and educational impacts of the COVID-19 virus, with all the everything that was explained. So that's the motion.
Yes, which specifically is to extend or give me the authority to extend school closure across all of our Magnolias until the end of the year, which for us is June 12th, 2020.
Would a board member like to?
I'll go ahead and make the motion.
And I'll second it.
Thank you, Dr. Yapanow. Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. So again, this is part of our emergency agenda, item 2A. I'll go ahead and take votes. Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Rubias?
Yes.
Mr. Orzov?
Yes.
Dr. Yapanow?
Yes.
Beliak?
Yes.
The motion carries. So that is the end of both emergency and special meetings for today. Dr. Yapanow, there are no further questions from any board members. Can you please adjourn the meeting at 7:51 a.m.?
Yes, both special and emergency meetings are adjourned at 7:51 a.m.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good day. Thank you, everyone.
Have a safe week. Stay safe.
Bye-bye.